And Madam Bailiff, can you make sure that we don't have an outbreak of activity again? Good morning, is it Ms. Hedger?
It is, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
May it please the court, counsel. I'm Lori Hetcher, Assistant Public Defender in Douglas County. Janine Telusto is my co-counsel, is here with me today. Together, we represent Joshua Ewing. This case began with a request to be adjudicated in front of the court best suited to address a young man's unique rehabilitative needs, a young man who himself was a victim of abuse and neglect. It has since evolved into the technical procedural question of when this court has jurisdiction over an order on a party's motion to reconsider a prior order when that prior order was itself a final appealable order.
But for the statutory change a couple of years ago, transfer orders would not have been appealable at all, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And didn't the statute that changed say an order granting or denying transfer of the case from county or district court to juvenile court shall be considered a final order for purposes of appeal?
That is correct.
It didn't say anything about motions to reconsider, motions to vacate, or whatever. And wasn't there already an order denying, and the time went?
That is correct.
So what's the argument? Don't we strictly construe statutes conferring jurisdiction?
You do, Your Honor. That is correct.
So how do we get to jurisdiction over a motion to vacate?
This court has already stated the rule on capital construction, and the rule is that when an order for a motion to reconsider or a motion to vacate is appealing or is of a prior order that is itself a final appealable order, then as long as the party is only appealing the order on that motion to reconsider, but this court does have jurisdiction.
But that's in the general realm of civil cases. Here we're dealing under a specific statute that changed what's appealable. And this isn't one of the things that statute said is appealable, is it?
No, the statute 29-1816 does not consider motions to reinstate or motions to reconsider. You're correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Can you file more than one motion to transfer?
You cannot, Your Honor. Under the statute, the motion to transfer must be filed within 30 days of arraignment, and then the court has 15 days to hold a hearing. It is a very short timeline. So in cases such as this, where the district court had a very specific concern with the motion to transfer. In this case, the concern was whether Joshua would be able to complete treatment prior to his 19th birthday. The evidence addressing that concern was not able to be presented to the court in that short period of time.
Is that always a concern of the court, though, the length of time that the juvenile would be amenable to treatment in juvenile court?
That is a specific consideration the legislature instructed the court to consider in these motions. That's correct.
So in every juvenile transfer hearing, that becomes an issue.
It can become an issue in a situation such as this, where the defendant is accused of sexual assault and the defendant is also a victim in an abuse and neglect case that's ongoing in the juvenile court, where treatment is necessary.
So after the denial, then there's new evidence presented, is that correct?
Correct. It was not possible to get Joshua accepted to treatment and have a course of treatment in the short period of time required by statute.
What authority, statutory authority, is there to ask for the motion to reconsider and offer new evidence?
Under 25-2001, this district court has inherent authority to reconsider any prior judgment or order. The state did mention that new evidence could not be considered under such a motion. However, there has never been any case law or statute preventing new evidence from being introduced at a motion such as this one. In fact, under the analogous statute on motions for new trial, if evidence was not able to be introduced at the initial trial, it can be introduced for a motion for new trial, and that's exactly what happened here.
So what's the limiting principle that would prevent this matter from being raised again and again during the term of court of the juvenile court, which is presumably the calendar year?
That's correct, Your Honor. It's my understanding that parties are discouraged from filing frivolous motions, and if a party is seeking just to get jurisdiction in your court over an appeal and is filing a motion to reconsider for that sole purpose without wanting to introduce new evidence or
have new... So they have to have a little... a modicum of new evidence, and then they get another bite?
Or a change of law, or one of the other reasons for filing a motion to reconsider. It can't just be, I think you were wrong, Your Honor, please give me another chance.
Do you think that what you're arguing is at all what the legislature had in mind when they amended Section 28, whatever it is, 1816?
Your Honor, I'm not sure the legislature pondered this exact situation. I do know the legislature's intent here was to create an expedited process to get juveniles into the court best suited for their unique needs.
And this isn't expedited, is it?
This is not expedited.
Was the legislative change in response to our decision in State v. Blewett?
I believe that had something to do with it, Your Honor.
So in essence, then, we determined that these are not final appealable orders. The legislature changed the statute, said they are for this purpose.
Yes, that's correct.
And for there's a 10-day period for which the appeal must be brought so that we can get this matter to us right away. Is that
that's correct?
Correct,
yes. And I think that all ties into the expedited nature of these types of appeals.
So are you using a motion to reconsider as a vehicle for getting a successive motion to transfer?
In this situation, it wasn't a new motion for transfer. It was the district court identified this specific issue in his order denying the initial motion to transfer. The evidence at that initial and that initial hearing was not adequate to address this concern because it didn't exist at that point. It takes time to get...
You're just trying to breathe life back into the first motion.
Well, we were trying to address the concern the district court raised with the time it would take Joshua to obtain treatment and to successfully complete treatment. There were two different experts that one conducted the youth psychosexual assessment. The other is a director at the treatment center where Joshua currently is. They had to evaluate him. They had to find him a place in treatment. They had to find the best treatment. And that took longer than the 45 days to the initial hearing. And when that evidence established that Joshua was likely to complete treatment prior to his 19th birthday, I believe both experts stated he was likely to complete treatment within about 9 months of beginning treatment, which would leave somewhere around between 4 and 6 months after completing inpatient treatment before Joshua's 19th birthday. It was then that we had to decide the best way to get this before the district court. And the rule the state presents that motions to reconsider would likely almost never be immediately appealable would mean that defendants such as Joshua are placed with a very difficult choice. On the one hand, Joshua could have appealed the initial denial of his motion to transfer within 10 days. However, at that time, he still did not have this evidence to convince the district court that the initial ruling was incorrect. The other option Joshua had was to file a motion to reconsider. If that motion is not immediately appealable, then defendants are stuck with this tough choice of, do we try to ask the district court to reconsider its motion in light of this new evidence that we have, or do we take our chances on appeal, and even though we can't get in this new evidence on appeal because it's not part of the record? It's a difficult choice for appellants or for defendants to make.
Wouldn't all that treatment evidence have been admissible at any sentencing, assuming there was a conviction? Wouldn't all the evidence of treatment have been admissible for purposes of the sentencing decision?
It would, Your Honor. But by that point, the nature of criminal trials, they take a very long time, especially in Douglas County. By that point, if Joshua was convicted and sentenced and then chose to appeal, by the time it got before an appellate court, even if the appellate court remanded, it was very likely that it would be past Joshua's 19th birthday and the juvenile court wouldn't be able to exercise jurisdiction over him regardless. And that's where...
Does that coextensive with the availability of juvenile treatment?
It is, Your Honor. Juvenile treatment is generally... Juvenile court only has jurisdiction until approximately age 19. Treatment itself doesn't automatically stop once the juvenile obtains age 19, especially in light of the fact that Joshua is a named victim in an abuse and neglect case. There are aftercare or services available once individuals obtain the age of majority. And, Your Honor, if there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Ms. Duffy, good morning to you.
May it please the court,
Counsel, I'm Siobhan Duffy, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the appellee, the state of Nebraska. The state does not believe this court has jurisdiction over this appeal because we do not believe appellant is appealing from a final order. Should this court disagree, we do not believe the district court abused its discretion in denying appellant's motion to reconsider the denial of the motion to transfer. Pending specific questions from this court regarding the underlying, the propriety of the underlying order denying the motion to reconsider, I intend to focus today on the jurisdiction issues. Appellant filed a motion to transfer to juvenile court. A hearing was held, and the motion was denied in an order filed December 15, 2017. Appellant, though he had the right to seek immediate appellate review of that order, chose not to appeal through the process provided by Chapter 29, Section 1816, which provides in part that an immediate appeal can be taken within 10 days.
So is it over at that point?
The Court
of Appeals had a different opinion, is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor. The Court of Appeals, so I'll continue on to that point. Appellant filed on February 8th a motion to reconsider the district court's denial of the motion to transfer. Another hearing was held, and a new order was issued March 19th, which appellant appealed on April 9th. Prior to briefing in this case, the Court of Appeals did, it was submitted for jurisdiction, and they determined that based on some of this court's prior cases, specifically capital construction, that there was jurisdiction over this appeal. And appellant then cites that in his brief for the proposition that an order denying a motion to vacate or modify a final order is itself a final appealable order. So the case then proceeded to briefing. The state disagrees with, we think that the holding of capital construction is actually narrower. And in the alternate, appellant does argue that the order on the motion to reconsider was a final order because it affected a substantial right and was made in a special proceeding. And the state disagrees on both those points, and I'll proceed to address those. With capital construction, the state does not believe it stands for so broad a proposition. When read in its entirety, and along with later cases from this court discussing final orders for purposes of appeal, the state believes that the proper application is that any order being appealed must independently meet the criteria of being a final order in order for the appellate court to acquire jurisdiction. This court has previously stated that in order for an appellate court to acquire jurisdiction, the party must be appealing from a final order or judgment. And in a criminal case, the final judgment is the sentence, which we don't have here. So in order for this court to have acquired jurisdiction, the appellant must be appealing a final order. And Chapter 25, Section 1902 specifies three types of final orders. First, an order which affects a substantial right and which determines the action and prevents a judgment. Second, an order affecting a substantial right made during a special proceeding. And finally, an order affecting a substantial right made on summary application in an action after a judgment is rendered.
So before the legislature changed the statute, we had decided that issue.
That's correct, Your Honor. This court had, previous case law from this court had held that orders denying or granting motions to transfer were not final orders for purposes of appeal. And I think specifically the analysis was that they did not affect a substantial right. And then now, most recently in 2016, this court had stated that because there had been some changes to the statute that removed the statutory language that provided that they were not final orders. Then this court determined, even with the removal of that language, they were still not final orders. And in 2017, through LB 11, the legislature amended both 29-1816, as well as the statute that provided for transfers from juvenile court to county or district court, to provide that orders granting or denying the motions are final orders for purposes of appeal. And it also provided an expedited appellate review process, that it needed to be appealed within 10 days, and that the Court of Appeals or whichever appellate court had was hearing the case.
So we have to go through a final order analysis. Can't we just say you didn't appeal within 10 days? End of situation.
Well, I think that the 10-day appeals period would apply to orders granting or denying a motion to transfer. An appellant argues that this was actually a motion to reconsider. So I don't know if it was, if I'm understanding your question appropriately.
What's on deck?
On deck is the underlying motion to transfer. So I suppose this court could hold that. I guess I want to step back a second, because I don't believe that the order on the motion to reconsider is a final order for purposes of appeal. And to the extent this court disagrees and finds that because it relates back to that earlier order on the motion to transfer, then I do think that those that expedited appellate review process would, just as the later order would relate back, I think that expedited process should relate forward, and it would need to be appealed within 10 days. But ultimately, the state does not believe that the order on the motion to reconsider is a final order for purposes of appeal.
Isn't your best argument and your simplest argument that we don't have to fit it into one of the three prongs under 1902, but that this just doesn't affect a substantial right because this court concluded in Blewett that it did not, and that determination was not changed by the legislative amendment?
I think so, Your Honor. The only hesitation I have in answering that is that I recognize that when the introducer's statement of intent when amending the statutes through LB 11, which I recognize is not, you know, binding on this court, the introducer's statement of intent did state that this bill is intended to make it explicit that a youth's right to be served by the juvenile court is a substantial right, and the juvenile is permitted to immediately appeal the juvenile court's decision to transfer the case to criminal court. So I recognize that's really more specifically aimed at transferring from juvenile court to criminal court. But I suppose, I assume the introducer kind of intended that. But I think to your point, the language that this court pointed to support the proposition that this was not a substantial right was not affected by that change. And I think presumably the legislature is aware of this court's opinions and reasoning. Ultimately, the state does not believe that there's
jurisdiction. You agree with Judge Papik's path, or don't you?
I struggle because I have trouble fitting the motion to reconsider into a category. I think it fits into one of two categories. I think it is either really just a second motion to transfer, and whether that's proper or not, it wasn't appealed within 10 days, to Justice Hefkin's point. Or it is just a motion to reconsider, and it didn't affect a substantial right.
Is the statement of intent a part of the statute?
No, Your Honor, I don't.
Do we get to a statement of intent if the language is unambiguous?
No, if the language is unambiguous, we don't look to legislative intent. I only brought it up because I do know that this court has, when discussing in particular LB 464, did discuss some of the statements of intent and some of the legislative history when determining whether it, at that time, whether motions to transfer were final appealable orders. Ultimately, the state does not believe in either of these two paths, whatever this motion was, whether it was an attempt to have a second motion to transfer, or whether it was simply just asking the court to reconsider its decision. It was not a final appealable order. And unless there are other questions from this court, we request that you dismiss this appeal for lack of jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
46 seconds.
46 seconds. Ms. Hetcher.
I think it's clear from the legislature when they clearly stated that a motion to transfer is a final appealable order for purposes of appeal, that this was a substantial right. That was the legislature's intent. I don't think there's much argument otherwise here.
But they didn't say that, did they? They said it's a final. They said the appeal of the motion, the denial of the motion to transfer is a final order. They didn't couch it in terms of substantial right.
That's correct. But I think the underlying reason why they called it a final appealable order was because they view it as a substantial right.
But the text of the statute doesn't say that.
No, it does not. We ask that because this denial of Joshua's motion to reconsider did affect a substantial right and was made in a special proceeding, that you find you do have jurisdiction. May I finish, Your Honor?
You may finish.
We also ask that you find that the district court abused its discretion in denying the motion to reconsider. If there are no further questions, I will submit on that.
Thank you very much.